This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to what will be the final Blues NHL podcast for this season, minus the special episodes that you're going to get from our good friend Jamie Rivers and his friend Jax from the Bravo series Vanderpump Rules. I know you guys are enjoying that as well, and Jamie had announced that he's going to be doing a recap after each round in the playoffs with Jax, as I think you guys have come to find that Jax is a pretty intelligent hockey fan, not just a pretty face would be the description. He gets him from time to time on Bravo TV.
He's got nice hair.
That just made you kind of weird.
I don't care.
Speaking of hair.
Yeah, well. So,
hang on. Let's just air this out right now.
Yeah, what do you got?
Why are you upset that we like your hair? For those of you who are listening right now, Jim Cromer has fantastic hair today. And for those of us who don't have fantastic hair to deal with or have it as styled as nice as him, we envy it and we comment on it. And I commented on it this morning. I said, look at your salad today. And he got all mad. Why were you mad about it?
I wasn't mad at you. I was mad at a guy in the other room because now that my hair is longer, everybody either has a comment or wants to touch it or wants to fucking play with it. And I want everybody to just fucking leave it alone. I don't touch other people's
hair. But if that's the case, hang on. If that's the case, why don't you just shave it?
How long? I met you. We've known each other for a couple years now, right?
Yes.
Have I ever touched your hair?
Well, a couple times.
Have I ever? No.
No.
So my point is,
You rub my back.
I've known Gary almost basically for three quarters of my life. He's had long hair forever. Gary, have I ever touched your hair?
No.
Okay.
Let me
Butter, I've known you as long as Gary. Have I ever touched your hair?
No, but people
have I ever even
but
made a comment
do
about
touch
your
other people's hair?
Okay, but no, wait. That touching the hair is a little weird. I'll go with
thank
that.
You.
One.
It,
no,
thank you.
It is,
and that's what started this morning.
Now it doesn't make it.
It was just
wrong.
Kind of,
but it's just a little weird.
It was a pat, like to see what was in it.
But my question is here. Here's my biggest concern.
Jimmy's new to cool hair. That's the thing. And
okay,
so, like,
cool.
Right. You know what I mean?
All right. But my biggest thing is you carried it over into here for no reason at all.
I carried it over.
You
got to
leave that shit.
No, I carried it over into here because we're going to talk about, you know, how the hell we got here over all these years of being a Blues. See, this was
shifting gears on me now, isn't it?
No,
look at him go. I love it.
I'm going to tell you because this was originally going to be just a fan show, and then you graced us with your presence.
I don't think you're happy that I'm here.
No, I am happy that you're here.
He's like, just a fan show. He doesn't want my opinion today.
No, my point was is that we were going to look at, I mean, come on, let's face it. Whenever you talk about this, you get to talk about it from the fact that you skated on the ice and you bled in the locker room and all that bullshit. We get to talk about it from just a sheer frustration standpoint. And the reality of it is, I ain't happy. I'm tired of this shit. And I when I was looking for pictures for today's show, the picture that I found is a picture of Brett Hall, Wayne Gretzky, and Al MacInnis in a fucking Blues jersey. How the hell did we get here?
Where no,
I gotta watch
was on that team.
I gotta watch Pat. Number six was on that team.
Yeah, they all retired.
Hang on. Here's a quick story.
I asked the question in the other room. I said I looked at these guys and I told them the picture. I said, "How the hell did we get here?" And Butter said,
"They retired."
Okay. Now, that I'm aware of.
You're right.
But on that note, I would rather watch all three, and you included, if you want to make it four.
Wow.
I wish we were live streaming video, because Riff's face right now. He was like, You're right.
Well, like, yeah. I mean,
well done,
I would
butter.
Rather watch all four of you than four of some of the guys we got on the ice right now. Well, it's frustrating.
You can't name three of the best players in the history of the NHL.
Four
of the best players in the history. You can't name three
in
of the
history
best
of alumni games.
You can't.
You did have 3 points against the Blackhawks at Busch Stadium in front of 48,000 people.
You can't name
them. What a nice saucer pass.
And then say, I got to watch Yastin.
No, but,
like, that doesn't
no,
even
wait,
make
but
sense.
But Gary, I know where he's headed with this.
Come on.
No, hang on. Listen to me here for a second.
Thank you.
He's headed to the fact that we had those three guys on the same team and weren't able to, unfortunately, weren't able to produce a Stanley Cup. And I'm a part of that. And I was a small part of it. But trust me, next to those guys, I'm not a
– I get that. But, it's not like Detroit sucked.
They were good. But they still
– there were some monster teams back then. And
I agree.
Fuhr and Casey decided to not stop a puck from the blue.
If Fuhr doesn't get hurt, we had –
I agree.
I don't even want to talk about it. But
hang on. Before we jump further.
Go ahead.
Good story is – and I'm sure this picture may be all over the internet, but it's in Blues books and history things and little – I don't know. Those things that they make up the St. Louis Blues over the years.
Yep.
And they have a picture for the national anthem where it's Hull, Gretzky, MacInnis, and it's a great picture. And I remember that, actually. I was beside MacInnis on the other side, but I'm cut out of the picture. I look at that picture all the time. I'm like, there's another guy that was beside MacInnis on that one. And they're like, well, who? I go, well, me, damn it. I can't imagine why they cut me out.
Couldn't even get your
Haven't
arm
you
in
there. Haven't you tracked down who took that picture to get
I have
picture?
A copy of it.
Oh,
I have a real
it?
Copy of it, yes.
With you in it? Okay.
I do.
Well, start posting it.
Yeah,
I should.
There, and then it'll
I should. Then people will think, oh, he Photoshopped that shit.
Well, that's what I'm going to say.
Well, and again, where I was going with it was I knew we were going to come in here today and talk about, okay, basically, where'd it go wrong? And I'm sitting here looking at this going, it didn't just go wrong this year. It's been going wrong, and it's frustrating. And it's not a one – we talk about Berglund and guys in here, and it looks like it's not a one thing. I mean, this is across the board. And it just was frustrating, and that's how I got frustrated. I feel like Damone in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I woke up, I was in such a good mood. I don't know what happened until Butter told me they retired. But
three tickets for Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah. Jefferson, three tickets, and little brother. Good-looking kid. That's what we're going to talk about today. I know you and Kimby had an opportunity to come in together. Talk a little bit about, like an end of season recap and see where we're going to go. It's funny. Did you see the poll on Twitter yesterday of everybody, the guy that does the Live with Men Arena and kind of put it out through Adam Smokehouse, who we want to see win the cup? And I completely forgot to answer because I was at my kid's game. Isn't it the Jets so that we can all listen to Kimby next year? I told you so.
No. Here's
Vegas the deal. Was leading last time.
I know, but if the Jets win,
the Vegas,
Kimby
I tell
will
you
wear
what,
a Jets jersey in here next year.
Vegas is working their way into my heart. And it's not like I didn't have a spot for them to start with because obviously it's a good story, right? It's a Hollywood story happening in Vegas. But they're really playing well. And I think it's so amazing that the biggest star on that team is a cast off from the last couple of Stanley Cup champions.
Right.
Like Marc-Andre Fleury is incredible. How do you think Jonathan Quick feels?
Yeah.
He had like a 1.5 something goals against and a 0.967 save percentage, right. And he got fucking eliminated in four games.
Four games. Well,
I'll
just say this about Vegas, and it was a very profound thing that our buddy Butter said.
Man, he's on a roll today.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why he's Butter, because he's on a roll.
Here's what Butter, Butter looked me dead in the face, as serious as I've ever seen him, and he said this. I think they're my new favorite out-of-town team.
This was early in the season.
And I go, really? Because that isn't all of hockey's thinking the same thing. Who doesn't think that Vegas is their favorite out-of-town team?
Somebody might hate them. You never
know.
Come
on. It's
somebody
Vegas.
Might.
No one hates Vegas.
This was early in the season. Early on.
Butter was on the wagon way before everybody else.
He was way on the wagon.
Before the first puck was ever dropped, I said that.
I said at the expansion draft.
Did he really?
I like him.
Well, how about there's a guy up in Canada, Damian Cox. Is his name. He's a reporter, been for years, and He's really a douchebag. He is. Like, if you follow, if you even look at him on Twitter, like, everything he says is condescending or negative or smartass. Like, he's never, ever, I don't think, had a positive Twitter interaction. And somebody posted yesterday, it was great. There, he posted after the draft, this, how bad or how horrible is this Vegas team going to be? They're going to be horrific. And the guy like posted it again yesterday, like, yeah, you know, almost like a screw you. But it's amazing what they've been able to do.
They're really good. I've been to two of their home games. The atmosphere is amazing, and they play really good hockey. That's all there is
fast,
to it. Like,
tenacious.
They're insanely fast. We went to one of their practices in December. Holy crap! Like, nobody was taking it easy. You know what I mean?
It's Gerard Gallant. I mean, he's not supposed to be able to coach new school players. Remember what Florida thought?
Right. I mean, there wasn't one guy on the ice that just went through the drill. They were, like, straight up as hard as they could go.
But you know why?
For 50 straight minutes.
You know why? I said this forever ago, and you'll remember this. The Vegas Golden Knights are made up of, I don't want to say cast-offs, because they are, I guess, essentially, because everybody has to expose somebody for the draft. But they're made up of second, third, and fourth line players from other teams.
Right.
And so they've always had to prove something just to stay in their spot.
Right.
Now they're in Vegas. They have the ultimate opportunity to screw you to the whole world.
Right.
And they've already got that mentality of every day's a work day. Because if they take a day off, before they'd get scratched, before they'd get benched.
Right.
Now that mentality, that work ethic, that whole makeup of their hockey player is transferred over to a team where they play a lot now.
Right.
And that's what's it really excelled with this team is every freaking guy is going. And their forecheck, when they rotate on the forecheck and one guy has to cover back through the middle of the ice, they're there.
Yeah.
Like, there's no hesitation. There's no laziness. Right.
They worked on that in practice. I'm going to guess, I don't want to overestimate, but I want to say there were 30 to 40 college coaches there from what we do to NCAA D1. And we were all sitting together, and every one of us was like, holy crap. And every one of us got out our phones and started videoing these NHLers just going balls out for 50 minutes.
Well, how great of a lesson is that to all kids?
There's no way a coach that left there went back and didn't mention that to their team or didn't show it to the
100%.
Team. It was so impressive. And Fleury was leading the way, and Neil was leading the way, and Carlson was leading the way. They just weren't not. I mean, it was great.
Well, here's my question as a Blues fan, just a straight Blues fan. So we talk about, we had many shows as we got closer to the trade deadline and then after. What we need, if we're going to do this, what do we have to do, what do we need? So my question is this. Even, we have Alex Pietrangelo, who's a top-tier defenseman, and even Kimby had brought up, and you said, I think we're going to need another defenseman, right? Okay. Seriously. And then, we could use some scoring on the part. We have these, quote-unquote, good players already, and yet we need it. So I'm asking you then, who the hell is their top-tier defenseman that's a Norris Trophy candidate?
For Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have a top-tier defenseman, but they have a solid defense core that, in my opinion, they play the game the right way. And all that means is the guys who can play with pace, play with pace. They push it all day long. The guys that are there to hold down the fort, like the McNabbs, the Englands, those kind of guys there, they're holding down the fort. They don't give up that good ice in front of the net, ever. They don't give up that good ice in the neutral zone. They're always there. They're always in the way. And then what happens if you watch their transition game, those guys who are the hard-nosed guys, they move it over to their pace pushers, and those guys are up the ice with the puck. It's
a machine.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a perfect storm. I mean, that's kind of, that's comparing them to like the elite Red Wings teams in the day. And I'm not going to say that, but for an expansion team who had 109 points, who just swept the LA Kings, like, people are starting to see now why they've had that success all year.
Okay, and so you're actually taking us right where I want to go. So while I like James Neal, always did, I wanted the Blues to sign him a few years ago when he originally signed with Nashville.
He would help.
Guy I liked. Got a spot in my heart for David Perron. These guys. So my point
he would help too.
So my point is,
But none of these guys are winning an MVP trophy. So my point is, again, why can they do this system to yours? And we look at so I guess where I'm going is, are we as Blues fans blinded because they have a blue note on their chest and we're not realistic about how good some of these guys are?
Well,
let's
face
it.
No, you're not
let
wrong.
Me take this the whole way here. I thought 27, not the whole season, but I thought towards the end played the best hockey of his career. That was my opinion. But I'm going to call some guys out. I thought Parayko was not very good, and I think he should be a ton better. Now, is that because he's big? Yeah, you're damn right it is. You're damn right. Okay, Jamie, if you were that big, you might be in the Hall of Fame.
I might still be playing.
Well, do you understand my point? So how does a guy? So my point is, are you telling me that they're that much more talented than the Blues?
No. What happens is, and we're circling back once again to the ultimate answer to this, is the makeup of this team. You know, the chemical makeup of this team is that George McPhee and Gerard Gallant and everybody in that organization had a very specific team that they wanted to put together, and that's why they went and got these guys. And look, at they had better players. They did. They had Mark Methot,
yeah,
who's a hell of a shutdown defenseman, and they got rid of him. Right. Why? Because they didn't believe he fit the chemical makeup of the team, and they moved him to bring in other players. And they traded guys back to teams. They traded guys right here. They bought guys out. They did all these moves that, at the time, you're like, what are they doing? You know, why are they doing this? They had an idea. George McPhee has had a plan. He had a year to prepare for this. He had nobody else to compete with him in the expansion draft. He had all of these poker chips.
Yeah.
Get the pun? Yeah, Vegas? Yeah, yeah. Poker chips?
I liked it.
That, you know, he had to be able to play to get guys that he wanted for his team. And this is what he's done. And it's not that they're better Hart Trophy candidate, MVPs. He put together a great team. And that's really what it takes to win. In any sport, you can find an all-star player that's never won a championship. But then you find a handful of slugs that have won like four. And you're like, how the hell did they win four championships?
Dan Marino, Trent Dofer.
Well, there you go, right? But then you've got other guys. Like, who's the guy this year? Foles? Nick Foles. Why? Yeah. How does he win one? He's not a Hall of Famer, right? But he put together a great season. It was the right makeup for him to be successful.
Well, it's impressive, I mean, to think about, like, what that plan, believing in that plan the whole time, sticking to it, and putting your neck out there the way they did. Because, as Jamie just said, a lot of people were questioning those moves. Like,
what, totally.
How do you get rid of guys like that? How do you buy this guy out? How do you do this? And it took a lot of guts, and good for them. You know, good for them.
They did have a little bit of an advantage, though. Expectations are never high for an expansion team.
Right.
So if you guess wrong, you're supposed to lose anyways, right? But this is why this year is so unique for Vegas, is because for the last couple of expansions, there's been two teams each time, and they're battling back and forth to try and see who's going to get what, and it's not as easy to build your team. One team, you only get one shot ever in the course of your franchise to have a clean slate and just build your team. And so they had that opportunity, and now this team has an identity. For as long as George McPhee is a GM, for as long as Gerard Gallant is a coach, for as long as there might be a franchise in Vegas, this team's identity has been set now by this group.
Right.
Yeah, and again, as I look at, and you talk about, you've brought up the GM, the coach, things of that nature, and that's, now I'm going to go there. Made its way on social media and became a big thing, and we all saw it, was the video of Doug Armstrong after Chicago had scored, standing up, visibly upset.
Yeah, and good. He should have been.
Well, so my question is, who's he upset at? Because, I mean...
Overall, I think the whole thing. I think he signed
some of these guys.
Yeah, but
he made some tough choices. I mean, let's face it. Now, again, you can argue this point.
I'm not going to argue.
But he chose Steen over Backes. And I'm not even saying that was wrong at the time.
Well, he kind of did and kind of didn't. Because you're missing some of the equation. The equation is David Backes wanted big money. Alexander Steen is like just above half of what David Backes wanted in salary. Backes got like $7 million a year, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm just saying.
I'll get the old.
I'm not crazy here. Trust me. Backes wanted $7 million 7-year, $7 million deal with the Blues, I believe, is what he wanted.
Yeah.
At, well, $49 million or something like that. So when you look at Alexander Steen, not that he's a cheaper option. What are we looking at? I know you pulled it up.
$6 million.
$6 million.
So
okay.
He makes a few hundred thousand more than Steen makes.
Well, no. Steen only makes $4 million.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. Cromer, what's going on here
today?
We'll
see, but I'm almost sure he's a $5+ million guy.
Anyway, my point is that you weren't choosing David Backes or Alexander Steen against each other. It was different. And so I still go back to the fact, and look at David Backes was a huge part of this lineup, but where does he slot in right now with Boston?
Yeah.
He slots into what an Alexander Steen role is here, right? So. Yep.
Steen signed a 4-year, $23 million contract, almost the same contract Backes signed.
Wow. I'm just telling you, there's still a salary difference. Backes didn't sign 4 years. It doesn't matter. My point is, actually,
you're right.
It's not just. It's not just. That's not a little amount of money. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and the age.
I know it isn't. It's these. You know, it's the NHL, not the NBA. And so these guys have to a quarter of $1 million difference over 4 years is $1 million. Like, that's $1 million difference, Jimmy. So that matters when the NHL guys don't make NBA, Major League Baseball money, NFL money. So they have to get every nickel they can because, let's face it, their window isn't large. A quarter of a million a year doesn't seem like much.
I'll ask you.
But over 4 years, it's
$1 million. It was 5 years that he got from Boston. I don't know if the Blues were going to go there. I think the Blues only wanted to go 4 years.
Well, you see what I'm saying. It's the totality of the money.
No, I get it. And it's the overall.
You're not going to tell me you wouldn't give him $250,000 more a
year. That's $1 million. That's $1 million. That's $1.25 million over the course of the contract.
You guys right now are splitting hairs over something that still wouldn't have brought a championship here.
That is also accurate.
So I'm just saying. I'm not being a dick. I'm just saying, like, yeah, we're splitting hairs over guys right now.
There was no championship.
No, I agree.
Backes is what, a second, third liner in Boston? And Steen is a second, third liner in St. Louis? Like, that's not – like, if we got six of those guys that play that way, now you've got – like, I talk about the Vegas chemical makeup, but now you've got a bunch of guys, but we don't.
Right.
I'd rather watch David Backes play hockey than Alexander Steen. End of discussion for that.
I'm not – there's no argument there.
Who has better hair? You.
I don't know.
Jimmy.
I don't touch them.
Today?
I don't know. I don't touch their hair.
Not that you wouldn't want to.
So anyway, that was the whole premise thing is, like, you know, I'm glad you brought up Vegas because I'm sitting there going, you know, the thing that kills me the most, and you said it, Gerard Gallant supposedly can't coach the new age player.
New age coach, doesn't know analytics enough, all this crap that – and if you look at his body of work with Florida guys, he had a great team. Mm-hmm. Did an unbelievable job with that team.
Right.
Nobody even had them on the radar. And then you get this guy who gets them to the playoffs and is competing, and then you get rid of him. Like, obviously, the guy lost his job. What the hell is that guy's name again? Tom Rowe?
Yeah.
Was that it? No. Yeah. Is that it?
No.
I don't know. Something like that. Anyway. That guy, I not much to say there. But at the end of the day,
yes, very good.
Tom Rowe?
Tom Rowe.
He's a weasel. Anyways, I mean, the guy works his way into GM status, and then he had an ulterior motive the whole time. He was a head coach for I don't even know how many years before that. He wanted to be head coach in the NHL, and he found a way to do it. And I don't know. I don't have much respect for it. I don't have much respect for the way the dismissal was, all that stuff. There's a way to do things, and he didn't do it the right way. But their loss is Vegas's gain. Gerard Gallant is a guy that I know the players love. They want to play for him. They feel bad when they lose. They feel like they've disappointed him. They feel like they can't do enough for this guy because he's such an awesome players coach.
So looking at the makeup of the Blues, and in the end, it does fall on the GM. He puts the team together. The coach takes what's given to him, and I'm sure there's some input there, and then he has to implement his system. And again, I'm not stating anything that's not obvious. This system obviously can't score on the power play.
Well, there's
only you, Gary, Butter. I'm not going to be able to dissect this down like you guys can. But it's not rocket science. I don't understand it. How can it be so bad? And I'm going to tell you this, too. If it's off the record that Braden Schenn doesn't like Vladimir Tarasenko, then go fuck yourself. Braden Schenn, I don't give a fuck how well you did one.
Who said he didn't like
him? Oh, it's all over the fucking 101 and ESPN. These guys all know so much. Braden Schenn has a problem with Tarasenko. You know, it's obvious. You can see it. He doesn't want
to. I want to know because I consider myself pretty dialed in, and I haven't heard that.
Well, it's all the, you know, all the guys on the AM radio
stations. Well, they must be bored. Bernie Miklas, I hope, because he's always around. He fucking knows.
But if that's the problem, then go fuck yourself. I don't care how good a season you had. Well, I'm serious. I'm tired of it.
And first of all, you're getting angry at something that isn't even...
Okay. Well, then I'll get angry at the fact of why can we not score on the power
play? And it doesn't matter. I can tell you what. There's guys that I played with that couldn't stand the sight of each other, but they got on the ice and they played the game properly and scored goals and won championships and did good things. So, and first of all, I've never heard that about Braden Schenn and Vladimir Tarasenko. So I'm going to consider it just a bad rumor at this point because ordinarily, and I'm not saying that I'm dialed in like everybody, you know, like Mike Yeo is with his team, but I would have heard something about it, I believe, at this point. And so
none of that ever makes sense to me. Like, it just, like you just said it, guys have not liked each other and won Stanley Cups. I just don't understand.
The game has changed a little bit, though.
I understand.
Guys are a little more sensitive than they used to be.
But I just don't understand that if you're Braden Schenn, let's say it's accurate, because I don't think it is, but what do I know? But let's say you're Braden Schenn. Do you have the puck on your stick and you look over and 91's open and you go, yeah, I'm not passing to him because I don't like him? That doesn't make any sense at all. If you give the puck to 91 and he scores, you get assist, and assist means money. Points mean money. Wins means money. So when people on social media or in the hockey community say, oh, they don't like this guy and this guy and this guy, it just is – oh, okay. It doesn't matter in regard to their play, because if you're on the ice and you're not performing because you don't like the guy next to you, you are losing money, and you have a short time to make that money. That makes no sense to me, and I'm never going to fucking
Jerry McGuire,
lose.
He's all about the money today, isn't he?
That's the truth, though, Rives. You know what
I'm talking
about.
No, I'm with you. I like the road you're headed down
when
there.
I heard
I
want
to make money, too.
I was just flabbergasted and shocked, and like, where did this come from? And then I heard it again and again and again, and I'm like, okay, so this is
here's
something
thing,
making
though.
Its way through.
But hang on. Here's the thing. Things can be... misconstrued sometimes, okay? And
big words.
It is a big word. I just looked it up yesterday. but just because a player can be frustrated with another player's decisions, another player's mistakes, line mates, teammates, power play guys, you can be frustrated, and you can be visibly frustrated with other guys' decisions. It doesn't mean you don't get along. It doesn't mean you don't like each other. I might think you're stupid, and I may not like your stupid decisions, but it doesn't mean I don't like you. It doesn't mean I'm not going to play hard with you. It just means I think you're stupid. And so, I mean, that's really, you guys know, Butter, I'm just really breaking it down to its like easiest form here. And at the end of the day, that's not the difference in the power play, okay? And I think here's the thing. I've had some time to inform myself, to watch it again, to think about it. As I watched their power play setup that really didn't change from Christmas on, I think Coach Mike Yeo and Chief Berube, I think they got into the pattern, and it's not really their fault. I think they got into the pattern of, these are the guys that are supposed to win us games. We're going to give them the ball here on the 1 yard line because they were supposed to.
Right.
And now, although that doesn't always work, and although now in hindsight we can say, God damn it, what were they thinking? At the time in January, we would have been saying, what are they thinking if they don't have those five guys on the ice? And so it didn't work out. It never was consistent. It never really generated. And it was at this point, now we look back, it's like, ugh, that was ugly. However, he went with what he thinks was his five best players, and I've said it before, there were really six players that should have been on that power play. You can only feed five of them, meaning you give them the right ice time. Vince Dunn will be that guy moving forward. I don't think you can deny this guy the power play, because I'll go back to it again. That one last game in Chicago where he had 3 points, they had 3 power play goals, and Vince Dunn was the guy at the top of the umbrella running the whole thing. There was success there, and I don't think that can be denied in the future.
No, I agree. And so, but, Rivs, those are the 5 guys, and you give them the ball on the one. But at what point do you give them the ball on the one and try to run a different play?
Well, you do that when things are kind of sort of – when you're kind of playing 500 hockey, you can experiment. Well, they were not even at 500 hockey. They were just – it's just falling back, like, and you're just, like, if I go with other guys and we continue to lose.
Not other guys, just run something different.
I agree. The setup never changed.
Never changed.
The breakout never changed. The offensive zone setup never changed.
It's always the same, and it just felt like, it felt like, this is what we want, and we're going to force it down your throat whether it works or not, and we're not going to change until it does, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, that can be to a fault. Sticking to your own.
That's what
I agree. I'm not. You're no argument here. I mean, I agree. They should have changed it up. They should have tweaked it. They could have moved those 5 guys around in different spots. I've said it a million times. I still think Tarasenko should be on the other side of the ice. I don't think he should be up high.
He should be on his wing.
He's not a quarterback. He's a shooter.
Right.
That
strong side shot makes no sense.
Well, it makes no sense off the fact that everybody knows he's going to get it. Everybody knows he wants it. And it's not like Ovechkin where everybody knows he's getting it, but it's a one-timer. One-timers are unpredictable. And they're fast.
Right, and there's a lot of movement by Washington away from him.
No shit.
That pulls everybody. They engage the other team and get them to come to them, which is why he always gets to stand where he stands.
But, if you watch him, he moves around all over the place, and this
and then he ends
up in his spot. And everybody goes, holy shit, he's always just in that spot.
Right.
Well, yeah, he does sit there, but then you watch him. He'll go right down to the front of the net, and then he'll back out again. And then as they work it around the other side, he finds his way back to his spot, and then bam.
Right.
So,
well, yeah. The goal he got the other day was down closer to the goal line.
Yeah.
Yeah. He moves around. The one-timer is a dangerous shot, especially if you have a guy who can execute it. It's quick. You can make 2-3 fast passes, one-timer, and you're getting at least pucks through to the net.
Right.
I just don't think, and I know we've dissected it a million times on here, I don't know why Vladdy doesn't like to play the right side or whether he's been put on the strong side. I've seen him take one-timers, and when he does, he's successful.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
I think Gary brought it up, is not getting him open enough. We're not drawing the square over to the side to get him open more towards the center. He's open on the boards.
But you know why we're not getting him open? Because he has the puck as the quarterback.
Yeah, he shouldn't.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Exactly. He shouldn't have the puck. He's got to come from the other side.
He's a shooter.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you can't be the receiver and the quarterback, right? Like, somebody has to pass it.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, no, and again, to your guys' point in looking at it, it's just – I just don't understand. Is it strictly coaching?
Well, I guess at the end of the day it comes down to it, because the players aren't just going to go rogue out there.
Was it Bradshaw that was here before that was responsible for the power play success? I believe he got a lot of the credit, did he not?
Shazi, I can't remember if he ran the power play or the penalty kill. Whatever he ran was successful. I know that because they were always in the top 10.
I thought it was PK.
It was PK.
He was the one that got a lot of the credit for the power. I could be wrong, but
I don't know. It just as a coach, but obviously not at that level. It's just frustrating when you see the coaching staff, what seems to be no adjustment, and just sticking to a system because they're just gonna. It's gotta work at some point. That's frustrating, and it should change.
I would rather part frustration, part, to your point, do something different. I don't give a shit what it is. I would rather them have come down, and the minute they set up, whoever had the puck shoot the damn thing and just try to put it on goal and try something else. Only because it felt fruitless.
I'm never going to be an NHL coach or claim to be that caliber, but our power play is really successful, and one of the ways it's successful is because we practice 3 different setups and we stick with the one that works. And then as the game progresses or as the power play progresses, I whistle and they know to change it. and they'll change it while we are in possession of the puck.
Yeah, you got to have different
Now, granted,
looks.
That's the NHL, you know, is way different. And I'm going up against guys that are, a PK that's literally standing still sometimes. So it's easy for me to whistle. But there's got to be better options, or you got to give your team better options. Like your forecheck. Like, how come we don't have, like, three or four different forechecks, you know, available? And why not give your best players an arsenal of, a huge toolbox?
Yeah, the only problem you run into with that is you try not to – with the power play, I'll touch on that first. The power play, you can have different looks. And if you watch the successful power plays, there's a lot of movement. Players rotating in and out of each other's positions and changing puck side and wide on the blue line, narrow umbrella. They change it. They go to the 1-3-1.
Right.
They have different looks. Now, the coach, as far as, like, standard is, here's our basic setup. And, like I always say, here's the blueprint.
Right.
Now, from that blueprint, you guys, this is why you're on the power play. You guys have to figure out how to adjust the blueprint to find the openings. Correct. That's why you're on the power play. If you can't figure that out in the National Hockey League and you're on, then you don't belong on the power play. That tells me somebody else should be out there.
Right.
And so giving different looks and having different setups is something that they do practice. Now, as far as the forecheck goes, the forecheck's difficult because you can't always just be changing curveballs, right? So
right.
When you go in and you have a set forecheck, you can have 1A and 1B.
Right.
And usually a lot of times you change it throughout the course of the game. And you'll change it for short periods of time. Like first period we run this one, second period we run this one, right. Third period we run this right. one. Changing it from shift to shift, which I'm not saying you're alluding to,
right.
That can run some problems. And you know how good the NHL is. Two pass, all of a sudden there's a break when you're like, holy shit, I was doing the wrong forecheck.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that was what I was saying is, like, having multiple forechecks is if you have multiple forechecks, you should have multiple power play setups. You should have multiple PK adjustments. Like, give your team, give your players tools to use while they're on the ice. Now, granted, the forecheck is, like, in our case, we lock the weak side. It's pretty easy to understand. And we stay in that. We don't change it on the fly or anything like that. But my point about the power play is that you can adjust that on the fly. Like, you can.
Well, you can, but that's where I think the players have to do.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, coach can't sit there. It's like, it's not PS4 where you're like, so, got your little controller.
Right,
you know?
But my question then is, are the coaches saying you can't change? You have to be this way?
And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I don't. Like, I'm not in there. I can just pull from past experience right. to where, you know, you have your set group of guys that's out there, and you have your blueprint, and then from that point on, this is why they're on the power, but this is why they are the elite five guys, is right. they find ways to break down the opposition's PK, and sometimes it is on the fly. Sometimes the first power play, you're horseshit, and you go, okay, now I know why we're horseshit, because we did this wrong. We need to do this, so now we're going to move him here, and you do that shit on the fly, for right. sure. But there's always adjustments.
So going into next year, we talked about it before, where who was going to be the least squeaky wheel of not being on the power play, and 29 was the least squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
Okay, but now he's going into his second year. So now he's in his second year. He's got that experience under his belt. Is it possible that he's there and 27 isn't?
Good question. But I think moving forward, we're not going to have only one power play.
Yeah.
I think with the guys that are going to be brought in, that some of the young talent, some of the, like, they're going to have more weapons. Gotcha. So therefore, they can probably dice up those five guys and probably create two units.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
you may not see Schwartz, Shen, and Tarasenko out there. You may not see Steen and right. Petro. Like, you might see Tarasenko, Steen, and Petro on one. Dunn, Schwartz, Shen,
right.
Thomas, whoever right. like yeah. is the next yeah. guy, yeah. right? Like, they could be the guys.
Yeah.
So I guess we could talk about it all we want, but until we see the roster for next year, like, I think they'll have more weapons based on what Army's saying too. He yeah. wants to go after a goal scorer. So is he going to sign Ilya Kovalchuk, or is he going to take a run at it? Maybe he does. That changes the dynamic, because now yeah. he plays in that spot where Vladdy loves right now.
Right.
Well, there's not room for two of them there.
Yeah.
One of them, like, so you have to have, you know, multiple.
So then you're
looks.
Just going to have, like, two units and go with whoever's the freshest.
Yeah. And then, you know, the possibility of maybe going and acquiring a Wayne Simmons from Philly. He's got 1 year left at 3.5, and he's not in the good books right now. Put him in front of the net. Now, absolutely. Guess what? Things change.
Absolutely.
So I'm just
like
saying
that
there's.
Guy.
And James Neal is another guy. Maybe you go after him. Put him in front of the net. Things change.
He's a monster.
He is a moose.
Man. I had no idea how big he was. And when we were in Vegas, holy crap.
He's fast.
He's obviously
too.
Healthy now.
He's
right?
Huge.
Yeah.
How old is he?
If
we only had something that could tell us.
Like, he's coming up on unrestricted free agent, so he's got to be like 28, 29 is my guess.
Yeah, but I had no idea how big that man was. Holy crap.
He's big. He moves, too. Like, that's the thing is these guys are big now.
He's only 30.
He's 30? There you go. That's close. I was in the ballpark.
I thought he was older than that.
Price is right. I'd have been okay, right?
Yeah, like, you would have got the price.
I was under.
I mean, he's 6'4", what, 220? Two something? He's just huge. Couldn't
big
move.
Game James?
And fast as hell.
The real deal.
Yeah.
It's not big game James.
No, is that Winston?
Yeah. No, he's impressive. What about, is 55 ever get a chance?
I don't think so. I don't, like.
Do you think
I shouldn't
50,
say I don't think so.
Do you
Here's
think 55 didn't have a great year this year because he's still learning what he is?
Well, I think we're figuring out what his ceiling is a little bit, okay? And I'm not being
– Yeah.
I love Colton Parayko. I think he can bring a tremendous amount of good stuff to the team. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't see him as a power play guy unless he's strictly a shooter. To where you've got him in a position of, but then he's got to hit.
You're gonna stand in front?
No, but Wayne Simmons will.
He will.
You know what I'm saying?
He's
but
not
I'm just
be
saying,
happy when that goes buzzing by his head.
But that's but that's part of my point is he didn't hit the net enough.
No.
He didn't get his shot through enough. And I always use Brent Burns as a comparable, and you've heard me say that before. He finds a shot lane.
Yeah.
Whether he moves 6 inches one way, 2 inches this way, fakes a shot, he finds a way to get the puck to the net, and he's got a bomb. Well, Colton Parayko shoots the puck every bit as hard, maybe even harder than Brent Burns. But he doesn't have the ability to get through the shot lanes or the deception to go along with it. And he doesn't hit the freaking net.
Yeah,
so that's a bad combination.
Angle. Yeah, he doesn't change angle very
often. No, he gets locked in, and he's locked in.
Yeah. It takes him too long to shoot it. I mean, Brent Burns,
Burns is continuously moving across that line.
He gets rid of
it.
Well,
Parayko,
plus,
it seems
like
it's in the right, it sticks in the raft.
I just don't know if Colton Parayko's a power play guy. And it doesn't mean he's a bad
player.
Then
what guy is he?
I think he's a possibility. He can have the possibility of being a shutdown D. Reason I say that is, although he's not as physical as he needs to be, he's one of the fastest skaters in the NHL.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
You watch him. There's nobody he can't catch. There's nobody he can't pull away from.
Right.
And so the speed and skill of some of these other teams' top players, if you have a big guy like that that covers a lot of real estate and he can move like that, he could be a great shutdown dude.
I'm not giving up on him. I know there's
I'm not
some,
giving up on
no,
him. I'm just saying his role might be different than what we thought it might
have
been.
I know there's some people out there that weren't happy with how he played. One of them's got
you
good
can
hair.
Point at me all you want. He didn't
play
as
but
well
hold
as he
on, but
have.
This
I'm not
kid,
disagreeing with
this
that.
Kid.
I'm just saying that's your stance.
Just remember where this kid was, 3 years ago? Was it 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
Yeah, 3 years in Alaska.
He was in Alaska, and the – who was it wanted him part of a deal? Some other team wanted him in the deal, and Army had to fly there and like look at him and say
he had to go to Mystery Alaska catch a Saturday game.
But you know, but he did
caught him skating the river.
So 3 years ago, this kid's playing NCAA D1 in Alaska, mind you, and then he's thrown into NHL last year and has a good season. And some of it is because other teams don't know what to expect of him. And then this year they do know what to expect of him.
Well,
so
his role is less, too.
Well, and they play him a different way as well. You know, they exploit him. And then – so I'm not willing to give up on him.
Look, the life of an NHL defenseman, especially these days, it's so tough. Like, it's apart from goalie, it's one of the hardest positions to develop. And he was thrown into the fire. Literally. Like, he played, what, a little bit at the end of the year in Chicago and then the playoffs the year before. Then he made the Blues.
Right.
That's a big jump. Like you said, looking back, he's in D1. All of a sudden, he's in the NHL.
And not big D1. He's like an Alaska D1.
Small market D1.
Yeah.
And so he's still young. He's got a ton of time to develop. He's got a ton of time to get better and refine his game.
I'd like to see more grit out of him.
I agree. I don't know if we're going to see that, though.
That was going to be my question.
I almost compare him to a Tyler Myers in a way. Tyler Myers is, what, 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah.
And he has the odd hit, but he's fast.
Right.
He's got a good shot. He moves the puck well. He closes gaps, but he's not a physical guy. So
yeah,
Colton Parayko may be that player, and that's fine. Then we're going to have to go find somebody who—
Just face wash somebody sometime.
It would be nice if he had a snap show just once.
Just
once. Now, however, if it's not, you know as well as I do, if it's not in his personality or his makeup as a player, you can't fake it. You just can't fake it. It doesn't happen that way.
And when speed is one of your assets, it cuts down on your hitting.
Right.
Because the guys aren't in a position to get hit.
Right.
So if you're blowing by them, you're not going to hit them.
No, I agree. I just think that he may be a different player than what we envisioned, but it doesn't mean he's not a 25-minute a game.
He's a pretty level-headed guy because I've seen him, he plays golf a little bit with us in the summer. I've seen him hit some really bad shots and not get mad.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And I was going to say, is that part of our problem as fans is we see this big guy and we just think he should be demolishing people and he's not, and we expect him to be something he's not. So, but on the flip side of that, he's ever going to be what I think we hoped he would be, I think he's got to play
and
a little
more.
He can't be Murray Barron.
Who's the St. Louis last big St. Louis defender?
Yeah, the comparable's not fair.
Pronger.
Yeah.
Like, that's our last big guy.
See, that was
and Prongs didn't skate nearly as good as Parayko does.
But here's the thing.
Oh, right.
I'm just saying, right? Like,
right.
Okay, so then it comes down to this. Pronger just was a dick, right?
Well, yeah.
So can somebody become a dick?
No.
That's a natural.
I just said you cannot.
Yeah.
You can't fake it.
Yeah.
You're either that guy or you're not. And it starts when you're a little kid. Like, you play with that edge, and people try to tame the wild stallion a little bit, but you can't add that to a player. Like, you can try to work with it, take him down, but you can't add it.
I bet you played so gentle and nice.
What do you think of 23?
No, I was, unfortunately wasn't all that
What's
nice.
What's the future for 23?
Who's that? That's an empty number on our team now, isn't it? There's no future.
Really?
There's no future. Not here, I don't think. I can't imagine. How? Why?
I don't know.
Why?
He tried to tell me he was better at the end of the year.
Who did?
He was better.
Even if he's better, it's like saying the group is in one spot and you have a player over here and you're like, he was the most improved player. You're right. But the rest of the group kept getting better and they're still miles ahead of him. So
just asking.
He
didn't show us anything.
If he's
at
on
the
this
end
hockey
of the
team next year, we're not hardly anybody.
We haven't taken the proper steps if he's still here. Let's just put it that way. Because he's one of those guys, he's like a Magnus Pajarvi was. He's just so vanilla that it's like, if you can't find another player that you can develop into something more that can take that spot, we're in the wrong spot as a team.
Gotcha.
I believe I called him Void. And he
Void,
just called
you
me vanilla.
Did.
So
Void
right.
and vanilla.
I just, at this point, he's
just
been here too many
to
years.
Confirm.
If this was 2 years ago, maybe you're like, okay, you know what? He's still got some upside, still has some youth.
How come he says what I told you and you don't jump his ass like you did me?
Because he played in the NHL and you didn't.
And I didn't complain about him.
I told you the same thing.
And I let him touch my hair.
Yeah. What do you think of that? That in your ear.
So, lots of fans, and it's funny how social media will do some positive things. Lots of fans learning on the go how buyouts work.
Oh, God.
Okay, and it's evidently a couple guys that were potential buyouts that probably would have made the most sense. Now we can't buy them out.
Can't buy them out. Nope. It's you can't buy out an injured player.
Really?
You cannot. Nope.
And then didn't you tell us you only get like one buyout anyway, or a couple?
I think you're allowed two buyouts.
Two buyouts.
There is a cap on it, because otherwise then teams would want to do the Vegas thing.
Yeah.
Buy everybody out. Yeah. If they had like the Detroit Red Wings or New York Rangers, you don't think they'd be like, okay, I'm going to buy out 10 guys. One time they were allowed to do something like that was when that one lockout ended and you were allowed to have you could sweep the closet to get under the cap.
So, okay, so let's change a little direction here. So, Cromer's always Army built this team.
Well, the buck stops there.
I understand.
Okay.
And
just
it's,
making sure.
It's Yo's first full season. So, what do you think, going into the offseason then, does Yo have more input now on the kind of players he wants to see?
I think ultimately, yes. I think that as much as I know Army, I think Army already has like an idea, uh-huh. or not an idea. I think he already has a plan of right. what he wants to see.
Right.
Now, it's probably to the point where him and Mike Yo have to just agree on what Army sees. But at the end of the day, if Army wants to see plan A is going to happen.
Right.
Now, hopefully.
But does he take into consideration the style Mike wants to put in place or the players that Mike wants?
Yeah, of course he does. I think he has to.
Okay.
I think he has to.
Because I don't know if
how much he does. I don't know.
That hasn't really been an option till like now, right?
Well, this isn't, let's be honest, this team that Mike Yo is coaching is not his team.
That's my point.
And that's what's unfair about new head coaches. They get these 3-year deals, and believe it or not, it takes all 3 years to get rid of what you had before to get to your own, like NCAA.
Yeah.
You have a 4-year program, let's say.
It took me 3 years to get rid of junk that was
because
there.
Because it's not your team.
Right.
And so that's what's kind of unfair sometimes NHL coaches is they're given these contracts and they're said, okay, make miracles, but I'm still cleaning up the guy before me's mess.
Right.
And that's why some coaches get fired and then there's ultimate success following them because they've put this whole plan in motion and the next guy who steps in is like, wow, this is great.
You don't want to be the guy after the guy. You want to be the guy after the guy that was the guy. That's right.
In some cases, yes. So I think Mike Yo's going to, every year that he's here, he's going to put more of his own stamp on things as far as what he wants for players.
Well, doesn't it seem to kind of make sense? Like, wouldn't it be a little counterproductive for Army not just to, like, I know you said Army's got a plan, but wouldn't it be a little counterproductive if his plan doesn't fit Yo's style or whatever?
It is. But this is where the discussions, like, before Mike Yo was hired, even to be the coach in waiting, based on the fact that he was a coach in waiting, there had to have been discussions already. And then when Hitch gets dismissed mid-season, there's really not much discussion because this is what we have. Let's just get out of this. It's like just trying to get out of a fire.
Right.
And now this last offseason, last summer, would have been a time where they get to have some dialogue over what direction they want to go in. And I think Mike had some say in this. I think there's some players that got opportunities that maybe wouldn't have. I think there's, you know, guys who played in situations that maybe they wouldn't have. I think it's a process, and I know that word's real popular these days, trust the process. I don't know if I trust the process just yet. However, I think that there is a process in place, and Mike has got to gain the confidence of his GM at the same time as Army's putting together a plan because he's got to sell it to Army. This is what I need. This is what I want. Right. Can you go get me this?
How quick can that happen?
Unfortunately, I think it's like a 3-year plan.
Do you really?
From the point of, you know, the beginning, like where Mike took over last summer. I'll use that because I don't take the half season into consideration. I think it's a 3-year process.
Really?
2 years if you're lucky.
The St. Louis Blues are in a spot where they're basically starting over.
Well, no, it doesn't necessarily mean that because Army's plan may not be the wrong one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to see it that way too is we traded Stasny and we picked up a draft pick. We have lots of things that, you know, as they like to say, in the cupboard.
Right.
Now it's how many of those things are going to pan out. How many of them are going to be the guys that make a difference? How quickly will they make a difference? That we don't know.
Right.
You know, Robert Thomas, is he going to step in and be a second-line scorer? I don't know. He's playing pretty damn well, but he's playing against kids still.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, and Kyrou's in Chicago for the playoffs now in the American League. We'll see how he does. But those are two guys that everybody's kind of hanging their hat on, like, wow, this is going to potentially be our scoring.
Okay. Well, okay.
So, we'll see.
So now, what do you do between the pipes?
That's where we have to end this whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, you're right.
That's what I'm saying.
We've gone through. We talked about special teams. We talked about now. We mentioned forwards. So now what do you
do
between the pipes?
Let's go around the table and finish with ribs on this one. What would you do, Coach Henson?
What I would do is I would be done with 34. I would be done. And I would try to find a mid-20s experienced goaltender in the NHL who's a solid guy, not a number one guy, but can play and bring Husso up in tandem, those two, until Husso's ready.
Until somebody
– That's
somebody
what I would do.
Job.
I don't – in no scenario, if I'm head coach or GM, is 34 playing for me anymore.
Butter?
I really don't have a good thought on it because I don't know what's out there for us to get.
Well,
so what are you gonna get in?
There's the thing. Now, I'm with you on this. I'm with both of you because the problem is this. I want to be done with him because I'm looking at this thing going, this is 2 years in a row now we've dealt with this bullshit. And it is bullshit. Okay? Listen.
He's so mad.
You cannot be a coach or a GM and wonder who the fuck's showing up in between the pipes tonight. Listen, I'm tired of fucking pussyfooting around the conversation.
Hey, seriously. There's a mic in front
listen,
of you.
I understand that. Just listen to me on this, okay? And this is all this fucking hoity-toity shit around here where we try to be nice about stuff. Fuck that.
Hey.
I'm dead serious. How in the hell can you be? Listen, we want to get mad at Armstrong. We want to get mad at Yo. We want to get mad at this guy. Get mad at this. How the hell can you play hockey and not know who the hell's showing up between the pipes tonight? That's bullshit. You can't play hockey. You couldn't play football not wondering which quarterback was showing
up. There's yet to be anybody that says they were keeping him in this room.
Okay,
relax.
Hang on. I'm just saying, in general, that's my problem. Now, reality pops in, and to Butter's point, it's real easy to sit here behind a microphone or on social media or whatever and say, get that guy the hell out of here. Who the hell is going to come in and replace him?
I told
now,
you.
Now, on that side.
There's a guy out there that's serviceable.
But you got to give us a name.
Well, I'll give you.
Like, come on, right?
Okay. Yeah, see, that's my point.
There's a guy.
Give Hutton a little bit more and make him stop.
I would.
No?
Listen,
won't happen.
Yeah?
I would rather watch Husso play. If he sucked, at least I'd know the guy showing up was going to suck every night. If one night he's going to show up and be good and get me all. You,
okay, so. I don't mind putting a rookie goalie in, unlike Jamie, and obviously I'm not going to be right here, but I'm going to say what I think anyway. I think of the positions in the NHL where you can put a rookie in, it's goalie.
Oh, my God.
Because
Did he really just say that?
Stop the puck.
Oh, my God.
Just stop the puck, Riz. There's a little like rubber thing coming at you.
Hence, why do you think there isn't a fucking overload of rookie goalies in the NHL starting?
Because all you old guys think
you're right, because there's absolutely no data to back it up, right? Oh, my Lord.
I knew I was going to catch
the
most
mentally draining position, the hardest position. It is, absolutely. It's a grind. And to play in the NHL where every shooter can knock a fly out of the air with fucking accuracy.
Well, now 55
overall. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And you can rip a young goalie apart and ruin him.
Ruin him, yeah.
Ruin him forever. And so
you don't think there's a little? You don't like the Hutton option?
Well, it's not that I don't like it. Okay, but now
you're familiarity.
But then what do you do with that?
Huh?
Here's my thing, and I'm just going to – this is where I'm going
to trade him to, like
– where? For what?
Exactly.
Who's going to take him?
To the team.
3 years left.
The team that thinks he needs a change of
this
scenery.
Is the problem, is I love the hot stoving, and I love, just throwing ideas out there.
It's
but
hard,
when it all comes together, when you look at term, you look at dollars, you look at no trades, you look at trades, limited no trade. When you look at all this shit, it plays a big factor in it. And Carter Hutton, for one, he's going to want 1A goaltending money, for one thing. And now you've heard him say it. He wants to go and get 1A ice time.
Yeah, he did.
Problem is, you have Ville Husso, who's, all rookie team in the American Hockey League.
Right.
He's ready to get some starts. He's ready to poke his head in the door here. But you have Jake Allen, who's got 3 more years left at, I think, $12 million owed to him.
But is he more – so is there no marketability for Jake Allen? Is that what you're telling me?
Because there is, let me finish.
Just let me throw this in while you're
direction,
finishing.
Hence.
I know. Hold on. Just let me throw this in there
while
you're finishing.
Before you roast him, he wants to finish.
I know. So he has to have some marketability. So anyway
– he does.
Okay. So
I'm getting there.
With his history – right. But with his history, is it – do you take the chance of having him between the pipes and Husso getting some ice with those two next year and have Jake go bonkers like he did the last 2 years,
bonkers,
and now
Husso
he's got
plays.
No marketability?
If he goes – but here's the thing. 2 years ago, he had
– you know what I'm getting
at. We had the same problem, and Jake Allen played great when he was in and out of the net with Brian Elliott. They were a great tandem. And when one turned up cold, the other one turned up hot. And I think that's the direction. If you have to keep Jake Allen, if you choose to keep, that's the direction you have to head it, to where it's goalie 1A and 1B, okay? Yeah. And even 1B is going to get 30, 35 starts. And now you're limiting your margin for error. Jake Allen goes cold, guess what? We're going the other guy.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. And then you bring up Huso at times if you want to do whatever. Or maybe Huso's the guy. Maybe you give him 25, 30 starts. Either way, that's to me, that's the recipe for success for Jake Allen right now in the NHL, is giving him 35 to 40 starts, not 60, not 55.
So that's a recipe for success for the Blues?
For the Blues and for Jake Allen. Now, if you choose, if you're able to go in a different direction, here's how it could work.
Okay.
Is right now the Washington Capitals, unfortunately for the Blues, are playing better in front of Braden Holtby, because in my opinion, he's a guy that could be available. And Grubauer is a restricted free agent after this year. They're going to have to make a choice. Imagine if the Washington Capitals could make a trade, get Jake Allen to come in, because Philip Grubauer is not necessarily a 50, 55, 60 right. starter. Now you have two goalies that are splitting the duties, 40, 35 starts, whatever you want to call it for each guy. Now you're able to unload $6 million in Braden Holtby to a team that desperately needs a $6 million goalie that can carry a team.
See, that's why he's the man.
So right there. Braden Holtby, now Braden Holtby comes in, and you have Ville Husso, who gets 15 to 20 starts under a guy who's been consistent for however many years, who's right. a true professional. Now he's grooming your goalie in waiting the right way, because he's watching an ultimate pro do his thing.
Right.
And you're paying $6 million for a goalie. So what?
Right.
You need it.
Yeah.
That's the number what we always complain. Goaltending for years since Grant Fuhr. Yeah, whatever, right? Nobody's been able to bring him to promised land. This guy has been consistent. He's the second winningest goalie
right.
in playoff history. Save percentage.
Right.
Like, doesn't suck.
No.
But they're going to have to move on. And if they don't win, if they don't go far, they're going to clean house. The coach is going to go. Wow. They're going to make roster changes. Braden Holtby will be available. And Grubauer's knocking at the door. What better way to give Grubauer a chance? Bring in another guy like Jake Allen, who's not that expensive, and they share the duties, and they unload the big money. To me, that's the way you can make it happen.
Yeah? What is the likelihood of that?
Well, the Blues won't be the only ones in the lottery.
No,
for that,
I know.
Right? So that's the thing, is you can call, you can knock on doors, kick tires, as they like to say.
But they'll be in the conversation.
But they should be.
They should be.
I agree. And if you look around the league, and that's one scenario that I've put together, is that whole scenario. I'm
right.
sure if you look at other teams, there's goalies with a year left. There's goalies that have a young guy in waiting that Jake sliding in to be
yeah.
a partner would be great, and they can unload their number one who's got more money involved, and Blues can pick up somebody like that. Right now, to me, that's the one scenario that really makes sense.
I'm not doing anything this offseason. I'm going to suck ass next year, and then I'm going to sign Drew Doughty the next year.
That's but he doesn't play goalie.
Nobody plays defense.
We already discussed those positions. Okay. I'm on goalie.
I love
Jamie's idea.
We're just going to sign Drew Doughty because Toronto, Rangers, L.A., all these other huge markets, they're not going to be interested in him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like Eric How Carlson. Let's just go get him, too.
You know, I'm
let's
not
get Tavares at the
him,
same time.
No. I'm not a big Carlson fan.
Oh, my God.
Are you?
Yes.
Really?
The one guy that...
I'm not saying he's not elite. I'm just not a fan.
He controls the entire game.
Yeah.
He does. His skating ability, his vision of the ice, his hockey IQ, everything.
He's not been his best year, though.
Well, he came off an injury. Whereas yeah. he wasn't even supposed to play for another 6 to 8 weeks, and he decided to play through it.
Well, if anybody's going to sign Doughty, Toronto's got to be like...
L.A.'s going to retain him. Watch.
You think?
One, he doesn't really want to leave L.A. It's a great market out there. He likes being the guy who walks down the beach with his hat on backwards and just doing
his
thing.
He's the author of my favorite line. Buddy, you're so bad at hockey.
You suck at hockey.
You're so bad at hockey. I love that.
But
it's my favorite
Drew
line.
Drew Doughty loves that L.A. feel, and it's a big market. He's got lots of marketability in L.A. He makes good money doing other shit
yeah,
away from the game.
Yeah.
He's going to go to a Toronto. He's going to go to a Ranger. He's not going to go to Columbus. He's not going to go to St. Louis. He's not going to go to, like, those little, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's too big for that.
He's too big, and he just won't do it.
Yeah.
I'm just dreaming here.
I know. We're trying to stay real, though, a little bit.
I know.
Man, I really like this Holtby idea.
Yeah?
Man.
I think it works.
That's why Rivs is running the show. That's awesome.
Running the show.
I like
that.
To
me, it just made sense.
Well,
it doesn't mean it's perfect, but it just on paper.
You sold me. So.
On paper,
you know,
it even makes sense.
I'm buying, Rivs.
I'm going to bring.
Gary's buying Stanley Cup tickets for next year.
I like it.
for next year? Is that what you're doing?
Hey, I'm telling you what. If this gets, if Holtby ends up in, with a blue note on his chest, I'm going to be screaming from the rafters that it was all Jamie Rivers.
Well, here's your, here, let's go through this. Here's your free agents next year.
Restricted or unrestricted?
Unrestricted.
Oh, there's not a lot in that pool.
I mean, I was going to ask you, does any of these guys do anything for you? I mean, does Kerry Lehtinen do anything for you? Jaroslav Halak,
no.
Cam Ward.
No. Halak, the luckiest goaltender on the planet.
The Halak Ness Monster?
Jonathan.
You know how that guy
Maurier
makes
from
saves.
Colorado.
I know for a fact there's nothing appealing on the unrestricted market.
I'm
nothing.
Sure you've looked at it.
And so restricted free agents, the one that jumps off the page, only a year left in his deal, is Braden Holtby. That's the one that really screams to me. And it's a doable trade, in my opinion.
I am so pumped about that idea that, like, holy crap. if it doesn't go down.
Look what you've done.
I know. If this doesn't go down, I'm going to be
That's
so
why I wanted to get it out.
I'm going to be so
And you wouldn't let him speak.
I just had to add a little bit of something. That's so, what, you know, that's what good interviewers do. They interject a little. Blah,
there's
blah, blah.
An interesting name floating around, like if you read that have made themselves a little money going in next year, and you follow these guys for an interesting reason because obviously Clayton Keller, but the goaltender in Arizona for the situation played really well.
Ranta,
yeah.
No, he just agreed to a new deal.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, so he just thing. Agreed okay, to like a 3-year extension.
Okay. I was going to say he was listed on there as one.
Yeah,
of the
no, Ranta. He had a tough go at the start of the season. Obviously, anybody would have with that team.
Sure.
But, yeah, they just locked him up for 3 more years, I believe.
Remember?
I think, does Doug Armstrong need an assistant? Well, he's got
12.
He's got 12 assistant GMs. Can he use 13? We'll get Rivs up in the room some of this stuff done.
I don't know, but I'm going to email this podcast straight to him and just the whole
Here's some things to fix this.
By the way,
Cromer says, wait till next year you get Donnie.
Yeah, wait till he gets it. He's going to listen to the whole thing and hear Cromer go off.
Come on.
And I can't even believe you brought up Halak.
That was a joke. He's on here.
Do you remember Scott Clemenson?
You know Halak is only 32 Clemenson, years old?
Scott Clemenson was a goalie in the NHL, played for Panthers. When he would come in town.
Well, he played for Jersey, too, behind Marty Brodeur.
Right.
He got like 7 starts a year.
Yeah, but every time he would come in town.
Remembered every one of them.
He played in our poker game with us. And he used
that's a corrupt game.
Hold on. I wish I had the mic on him when talking about Jaroslav Halak.
Oh, like, I can imagine.
It was 10 minutes of the best comedy ever about in it.
I played with Halak. I was with him in Montreal. And you know what? He's a small goalie. Yes, lucky. But you know, he still had a good run at times. He's just never been able to be that guy. He's never been able to be the guy that he's made money as. You know what I'm saying?
He's the guy I point to when Jimmy says the equipment makes goalies better. The equipment made him better.
Yeah. But he's also another guy that, much like we were talking about, he can't handle the 50 to 60 starts. No. He couldn't do that, right? So, and it's elite. It's a unique elite group of goalies that can do that.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun across the board. I'm glad you joined us today. I didn't think we were going to have you. It's always
no,
nice.
No, I decided. The whack pack's in here. I wanted to get in
the
on
the whack pack. It's a good term. It's been a fun season. I'm looking forward to hearing the ones you're going to do after each series with Jax and kind of talking about what went down and what you see happening going forward. On that note, before I thank everybody that was a part of the show this year, do you have in your mind who you think's in the finals?
I think, let's see here. 4 days ago, I would have said the Winnipeg Jets coming out of the West with injuries and Tyler Myers being out, not knowing the severity of that. And as much as it pains me to say it, I see the Nashville Predators in the Stanley Cup final, and I see them against, let's see here. I'd say the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's what I see in the final.
You've kind of been – I mean, that was
– You think it's Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh in that final, in that conference final?
Well, Pittsburgh would have to play Boston next, right?
I know.
Um, the Bruins are looking good too, though, right? So it's the East doesn't have a lot of depth as far as how great the teams are, but the teams that are really good are good.
Yeah. Like, I just can't.
It's a coin toss. Like Tampa, Pittsburgh, Boston.
Right.
Like, who can you go wrong
throw
with
Boston
there?
Out because they got that shit 63 on that team you can't stand.
Boston's my guy.
Boston, he says.
I don't disagree with it. Like, you could tell me Boston, Tampa, and I'll never back off of Pittsburgh because once you're a champion and you fucking Sidney Crosby. Like, good Lord.
Wait. Golly, man.
That like, guy, come on.
He shows up. Like, every time.
If you like, the only thing anybody can ever say about Sidney Crosby, oh, he's a whiny bitch. Oh, wow, that hurt. You know? Like, let me polish my three Stanley Cup rings.
Yell
highest scoring guy in Pittsburgh Penguins playoff history now.
Right.
Three goals to start
yell
it off.
Yell that at him like, while he's got those gold medals hung around his neck. The World
Overtime
Championships.
Winner.
Oh, and then holding up three Stanley Cups. Call him a whiner at that point.
Bitch. No.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but at the end of the day, this guy shows up every single time.
He really does.
He does. So that's why I don't count them out. And Murray's playing well. He had a great game to start last night against Philly. Philly should have jumped out to a 1 or 2 goal lead.
No,
he stood his ground, and that was a turning point to me.
I think I think you're right, though. I think Tampa's probably a slight
favorite. Tampa's fucking loaded, man.
They're a slight favorite.
Look at their D right now.
Yeah.
Their D core, and then never mind Kucherov, Stamkos, Killorn, Johnson, all these guys who are scoring. How about JT Miller? What a find that guy was. Like, leave it to Steve Yzerman to go and snivel out a guy that is going to be the top goal scorer since the trade.
Right. Absolutely.
One goal ahead of Kucherov.
So sick. What about, okay, so.
I got Nashville, Tampa. I'm going to stick with it.
Who's the favorite? I'm not saying who's going to win. Just tell me who's favored.
Wow. I'm going to go with Nashville.
Okay.
Because they play more physical. They've got bigger bodies.
Okay.
And I think that by the time it gets to the final and guys are wore out and run down and all that crap, I think that that will make a difference.
Yeah, that's not a prediction. That's just who's favored.
It's a prediction. Thank you, Rivs, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All year, I know the fans. Like I said, will be watching for your stuff. Gary and Butter, thank you guys for bringing the McKendry coach aspect to the thing and the fandom. And
you're welcome. I don't know if we helped any, but you know, we talk a lot.
Well, I was there. One of us talks a lot.
Let me tell you. Hey, you know Butter's best episode
Butter's
of the whole
calculating.
Year was when he was here by himself.
Well, right. What did we address that? What did he say? Well, you asked him, hey, Butter talked when you weren't here. And then when I was here, you asked Butter, and Butter says, I just let Gary be Gary. Like, that's why we're good.
Good and terrible, but that's fine. Yes, no. But thank you guys, and we appreciate McKendry University allowing you guys to do this. And good things ahead for you guys, I know. I know the season didn't end like you thought it would, but you guys are working hard in the offseason. And it's a year-to-year thing for you guys, and it's a constant
we're
battle.
On the ice today, Rivs.
On the ice
it's all
today.
Coaching.
Butter, thank you to you and for your support of the show with your tax planning and tax resolution services. You've been busy. This is your time of year, isn't it, where the midnight oil's burning?
I'm really glad Tuesday's over with.
Yeah.
That's a day where I really put myself just in the office from 6:30 in the morning till 12 o'clock at night. And there was a 10-minute period where I ate lunch. Well, and it was 100 miles an hour the rest
good
of the
Lord,
time. I handled over 60 clients that day.
Man. Oh, you sound like Stormy Daniels.
I was going to say.
I wish I got paid like her.
Mic drop.
Mic drop by Jamie Rivers.
But no, and I know that that day is a big day for you, but just for so all of our listeners know, obviously it's all a big part of his business, but you know, now's when you really go to work for people.
Yeah, this is when I can really make a difference.
Yeah, and the tax planning has made a big difference. I know it's helping. My wife and I are actually going through it right now with you. You're helping us with her business and things like that. And
don't divulge too much here, Crumbs.
Well, I mean, it's seriously.
Uncle Sam's listening.
No, it's all legal, all above board. This isn't shady business. This is just utilizing Tommy's expertise in this industry to use the money instead of just giving away.
No, I agree. I'm just bugging you.
I think that, you know,
just bugging.
Hey, listen, there's nobody more self-employed than you. You'd need to give the guy a call. That's all I'm telling you. Or actually, you can just yell at him across the table here. But thank you, guys, and Tommy. That's TommyBrown-EA.com. You can learn everything you need to know about Tommy. And again, we got some guys in the office using him, rave about him. It's been a big help for them as well. So I know ours is a multi-month thing with Deanne and I, but I know we're looking forward to learning more about it and how it's going to help us. So thank you very much for your support. And I know both you guys will be back next year, barring any changes. So with you guys' schedule.
It might get bought out.
Yeah. I
mean, we're allowed two buyouts. Jamie,
and Jamie Rivers, you heard me mention how much we appreciate him being on the show. Darren Kimball, who's not with us today, his work schedule got messed up. But Jamie, obviously, special thanks to you, SynergyHockeySkills.com.
Thank you.
You're going to get really rolling here. I know, interesting thing, we've been doing some stuff with Art City Media. I know Josh Potter is wanting to do a little bit of a story on you, your history here in St. Louis, how you've made this your home. Synergy Hockey Skills and what it's done for the local community, whether it be the guys in the NHL or just the normal kid at the rink. So I'm looking forward to seeing that on
yeah, it should be
media.
Fun. That'll I'm looking be forward one. To doing it.
Your friends and Gary's as well and Tommy's, the Nelson family, special thanks to them again, NelsonLandServices.com. We're in that time of season, guys, as the weather has not been kind to everybody. I'm sure they're busier than they can be, but they would probably love to hear from you guys. NelsonLandServices.com, professionally five-star rated local landscaping company. And again, I know, you've shared a lot of beverages with them over the years.
Couple.
And I know Gary's gotten to know the family obviously well.
A couple of bottled waters.
He can't speak any more higher of a family, just who they are and
they're
how
awesome.
They go about it.
They are.
Awesome.
They are.
They're a tremendous family. Give them an opportunity, guys. We can't do this without talking about Randy and Stephanie. I know you had the opportunity to meet them. We had them in studio.
Yeah, that was great.
And you know what's funny? Stephanie just called me yesterday. So, we've had the three arms underneath the umbrella of InnovativeCompanies.com. They've had the construction. We've tied it all into the Blues. Construction of the team, heating and cooling when they're hot and cold, electric, who's electric. We got a new one.
Uh-oh.
Their plumbing arm is
plumbing.
Up and running.
Oh, my God.
So, the plumbers.
What would we call that?
Well, those are the
unclogging
hard-working guys,
toilet? Getting rid of the shit.
Shots off the pipe.
Who's in the shitter? Who's in the shitter next year?
Yeah, that's right.
That,
Never mind the doghouse. Who's in the shitter?
But now you can add that into the InnovativeCompanies.com umbrella, the plumbing side. So Randy and Stephanie Heavy, remember, they're 35 years of experience. He's a second-generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. I'll be looking to have him on. I like having him on at the beginning of the year. He can kind of talk a little bit about how much he loves the Blues.
He was great. He was passionate. So. It was fun.
Yep, great guy, great family. And, again, just another family that has earned the opportunity to at least, compete for your business. So give them an opportunity, InnovativeCompanies.com. The growth we've experienced this year is a big part of social media. We can't thank you guys enough for finding us. Twitter, it's real simple. At STL Blues Podcast. We also are operating at NHL Show. Find us there. Facebook's where we make a lot of hey guys. Find us on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. That's where you'll be able to kind of keep up with us and see what we're doing. And of course, lineupmedia.fm, home of Now Yo Radio, which will be up and running full speed by next Blues season. Look to have a hockey channel and things like that on there. So guys, check it out. Make sure you download Yo Radio. You're going to like it. It's, if you have those types of things on your phone with the music stations, you're going to love Yo Radio. It's tremendous. The Facebook groups that have helped us grow, you heard me mention Art City Media. Now it was Art City Sports, but Mick Light, who's been a friend of Jamie's now for a while, it does amaze me the time this guy spends with local amateur sports as much as the pros. If you want to keep up with what's going on in town, Art City Media is tremendous. St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, everything STL Sports. And again, special thanks to Josh Potter for joining us and making the podcast here a part of what he's doing with Art City Media. My producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, they do a great job behind the scenes. They've still got some more work to do after today's show with Jamie and Jax. Taylor's shows that you guys can hear at the end of the series. I'll be looking forward to those. To all of our Blues fans, we thank you for your continued... Oh, wait a minute. Adam Smokehouse. Can't forget Adam Smokehouse.
Can't forget that.
Can't forget Adam Smokehouse.
I'm hungry, man. Too.
Can't forget Adam Smokehouse.
That place is so good.
We should have had some in studio. Never got an in.
Well, I've talked to Mike.
A little disappointed
next year, he is... I believe Mike is committed, and you know what? But when we leave, we'll be airing out the two segments here for you guys at the end. We got our guys.
Once a month, we should have something for lunch.
Well, we're going to do that. Right? I think we're going to go do one at Adam Smokehouse next year. He was pretty happy with the way things went. So special thanks to Adam Smokehouse as well. On that note, I'm going to roll out of here. We're going to have our two guys that gave us our segments. I know you guys enjoyed them very well. Let's start right now. Again, Adam Smokehouse brings you live from Inter Arena. Thanks to you, Dennis, for being a part of the show. Let's hear what Dennis has to say.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Dennis Minner live from Inter Arena with, sadly, our last segment of the year. Man, it's been so much fun. But, hey, we are brought to you by the one, the only, Adam's Smokehouse. Hey, do me a favor. This podcast may be over for the season, but Mike down at Adam's Smokehouse is open all spring, all summer, all fall, all winter. Go check them out. If you don't want to drive down and see them, have them cater. Give them a call, 314-265-3485. Let them know that Mentor Arena sent you, man. I cannot tell you enough amazing things. They are hockey supporters. They are supporters of this show. And just can't thank Mike and the gang enough at Adam's Smokehouse for being our sponsor the last half of this season. But hey, so as we know, the Blues did not make the playoffs, and I got to tell you what, I am glad. it's a blessing in disguise. Can you imagine playing the Predators right now and not even having Tarasenko? I cannot comprehend it. The Predators are an unbelievable team. I hate to say that, but they are for real, and I would not want to be playing them at all right now. I will tell you who I'm pulling for, and I am. A lot of people have, like, you know, screw hockey, I'm done for the season. Well, I'm a hockey fan. I'm not just a Blues fan. So I have been watching, and I've been actually having fun. There's no pressure watching the playoffs this year and just being able to enjoy it. I am telling you right now that I am pulling for the Bruins. I'm pulling for the Bruins because I want to see David Backes, man, hoist that cup. If there's someone that deserves it right now, that's a former Blues player that never got to lift it, it's David Backes. But I did run a poll starting yesterday, sponsored by Adam's Smokehouse, and we ran a poll, and we just said, who do you want to win the cup this year? And we had 460 votes, and out of those 460 votes, no surprise here, Vegas was in first with 212 votes, and as much as I would love to see them raise the cup for their Cinderella story and see Reeves and Perron, I just can't do it. I cannot cheer for another team to win a cup before the Blues. But I would love to see them go to the finals. Second place, it was Boston. Same response from a lot of people. It's because of Backes with 110 votes. Now, here's where let's go into it. And then we got a lot of sevens and sixes. Seven Tampa, six Jets, four Blue Jackets. And a lot of just, you know, one and two here on random teams. I want to know who the 51 people are that voted for the Nashville Predators. No. For a couple reasons. One, I cannot cheer for a team, again, just like Vegas, to win a cup before we do. But can you imagine? You think Predators fans are obnoxious now. I cannot comprehend how obnoxious their fans would be if they won a cup before we do. So, the 51 of you that voted for Nashville, come clean, come forward. We want to know who you are, and I want to call you out on Twitter. But, you know, enough about that. I tell you what, how cool has this year been? I'm talking me as a fan. Seeing Shin and Hutton, two of the most stand-up players that we have seen come from out of nowhere this year, and really excited to see Shin back. I really hope we see Hutton back again next year. Really curious to see what the Blues have. If we've got Tavares, if, you know, if Allen's still on the team, what's going on. But what a cool experience for me this year. Just a guy with a man cave to be able to be doing this podcast. And I can't thank Jim Cromer enough for offering this to me, this opportunity. And I hope everyone has liked it. But being able to have Jamie and Kimby and Tony Twist come to the arena this year. You know, I had an unbelievable time most Monday nights doing Wendy's Week in Hockey on KMOX. We've been sponsored with a ton of logos from all sorts of local companies. But then, like I said, Adam's Smokehouse stepping up to sponsor the segment. I had not told anyone about this, But the week before the playoffs started, St. Louis Blues did a very, very, very long recording in my basement in Mid Arena, and we were going to be used singing The Blues Come Marching In and all that. Unfortunately, we did not make the playoffs, so be looking for Mid Arena in next year's promo video with me and a bunch of my friends, and that was just so cool to be able to do that. But I tell you what, even though this season it sucked, I will always bleed blue. I was down on the team several times this year, and rightfully so. But let me tell you what else. I'm proud to be a full season ticket holder of the St. Louis Blues. It's not the cheapest thing in the world to be a part of, but it just kind of gives you a special bond, I feel like, with the team and the organization. So if you have any interest whatsoever in ever becoming a Blues season ticket holder, do me a favor. Call Michelle Burton. Call the Blues. Ask for Michelle Burton. Tell them that Dennis Minter, Mint Arena sent you, and she will hook you up with an awesome, awesome deal. But, guys, it's been an awesome time. Don't forget, check out Adam's Smokehouse. Just because the podcast is over, they're not. So you can go have some of their amazing burn-ins, some of their amazing ribs, some of those scrumptious, scrumptious smoked wings. And, gosh, this is it. This is the last podcast, guys, until next season. It's going to be hopefully an eventful summer. Hopefully Army makes a lot of moves. But, guys, until then, I'll always bleed blue, and I know you will too. Let's go, Blues!
Great stuff as always, and again, we appreciated having him. He had us over at Mentor Arena again. Urban Chestnut, thanks to them. Lion's Choice, they had provided us some food there as well. And, of course, Adam Smokehouse for bringing it. I know everybody got a kick out of Dennis this year. He's a pretty passionate guy that lets it fly. Jamie's shaking his head, and the eyes are rolling. It's good stuff.
It keeps it interesting.
Keeps it interesting, yes. The other guy that everybody in this room loves is Brad Lee from St. Louis Game Time. He has that beautiful rag out in front of the Scott Trade Center. You can subscribe to it and get it on your inbox, whatever you need to do. Here's his end of season thoughts on the St. Louis Blues. As always, let's hear from Brad Lee.
Hi, and welcome to the St. Louis Game Time portion of the podcast. I'm Brad Lee from St. Louis Game Time. And if you are listening to this after the season, the playoffs are in full swing, and you're still wanting to hear talk about the Blues, then you are a true Blues fan, and I appreciate you listening. And you're just like us. We're Blues fans. We're dedicated. We write the paper that we sell outside every Blues home game for Blues fans by Blues fans. We Twitter, Facebook, website, all that stuff, stlouisgametime.com. So it's kind of sunk in, you know, the Blues didn't make the playoffs for the first time in, what, 6-7 years. It stings, but someone asked me on Twitter this morning, they said, now that teams are starting to exit the playoffs, the Ducks were swept, the Kings were swept, the Flyers are on the verge of elimination. The Devils are on the verge. Seems like a couple of the series are ending here pretty quickly. The Avalanche, who the Blues, you know, would have been in their spot. They're down 3-1 after a loss at home last night. Would I have preferred that they actually miss the playoffs instead of winning one game in the playoffs or zero games in the playoffs? I don't know. That's a tough question to answer because sitting here, I wish I had the excitement of Blues hockey in the playoffs. The playoffs are the best time of year. It's the best environment. It's the most intense. It's why you play the rest of the season. But man, those first round exits really, really suck. And if the Blues were going to get rolled by the Predators in five games, like the Avalanche seem to be lining up for, it would sting. I don't know. It's, when do you want to be disappointed? A week ago or this week? You know, it's, I don't know. Do you want to pay your taxes early or on the deadline? I think it's kind of the same thing. It's going to suck no matter what happens. So, yeah, I don't know. So a couple thoughts at the end of the season. Man, I really, really thought they're going to make it in. They're 1 point away. 1 point away. And if you look at a couple of games where they pissed away a point, they should have made it. The game against Chicago the last week of the season, last home game 41 of the regular season, they allowed Duncan Keith, who was shooting less than 1%, less than 1% shooting percentage on the season to score under 10 seconds left, I think 8.6. If they had held on for 9 seconds, 8.5 more seconds, they'd be in the playoffs. If they had held on to a 3-0 lead in the third period in Nashville and gotten a win, that's a point. There was the game they gave away against the Golden Knights in, I believe, October, where they had a third-period lead and gave it up. If they had played better against Ottawa or Philadelphia or the Florida Panthers, they would have gotten a point. If they had played better against the Arizona Coyotes, they would have gotten a point. So, I mean, there are instances littered all over the schedule where 1 point here, or literally just 1 point there, they would have made the playoffs. And that's, it seems kind of like a microcosm of the season where they just were not quite there, not quite on the same page, not quite resilient enough, not quite prepared some nights, just not quite. And that means you miss the playoffs by not quite a win, 1 point, one more game that goes to overtime, or one more game that you win in the overtime or the shootout or in regulation. So, yeah, it sucks. Lots of big decisions. I know that there's a lot of conjecture about John Tavares. He seems to make a lot of sense. The Blues are going to have the cap room. Does he want to come to the Midwest? Does he want to come to a team that really needs to retool a couple of positions in the top six, that has questions in goal, that has, you know, some issues, but that it appears that there are some quality players in the pipeline on the way, probably not ready to, you never know, but probably not ready to contribute at the NHL level next year in a significant way. I mean, Jordan Kyrou is 19. Robert Thomas, I believe, is 18. Clem Kostin is going to be 19. Tage Thompson is, what, 20? So we saw how far Thompson was away. But, you know, he played for a very small school in UConn, and not exactly a college powerhouse. Kyrou is coming from the OHL. Same thing with Robert Thomas. They'll definitely get looks. They'll definitely get opportunities. I would say Kyrou probably spends some time in San Antonio, and the Blues having their own AHL team to control fully is a big deal as well. Let's not forget that, you know, when they are trying to develop players next year and coming years, having your own AHL team that you control is going to be huge. I think they make a run at Tavares. Will he sign at St. Louis? I don't know. Maybe he stays with the Islanders. Maybe he goes to the Rangers. Maybe he wants to go to Montreal. I doubt it. There really is a short list of teams that could afford to give him a seven-year contract, $8, $9, $10 million a year. Even though the salary cap's going up, that's a big number, man. But I mean, he would be a game changer. This is not Paul Stastny 2.0. This is a game changer. So if the Blues could pull it off, great. If not, they have to have plans B, C, and D, and it better not be Kostin and Kyrou and Thompson or Thomas, because I just don't see how you can compete for the playoff spot and compete for a decent seating in the playoffs if you're expecting multiple teenagers or a hopefully healthy Robbie Fabry. Who knows? There's lots of issues. And, you know, I think the number one thing is going to be Sobotka or Berglund. One of those contracts needs to go somehow, some way, somewhere. Make a run at Mike Hoffman. Max Pacioretty would be interesting. I mean, there are some options out there. I think the cost will go down this summer. It won't cost one of the big four. They have that first-round pick that they could throw in or use in some sort of way to add somebody. I mean, I think there are people that are skeptical that said, you know what, the Blues probably thought that they were close, that they were good enough to make the playoffs and didn't. If they can just get Jake Allen right and bring these prospects up, then it's going to be a good season and everything's going to be all right. Granted, everything that Doug Armstrong says, everything that lead owner Tom Stillman says, you can take with a little bit of grain of salt that it's just words right now. You know, it's still April. The magic happens in June and July. But they have every incentive, and they have a history of spending to the cap. And if you just play three or four teenagers, that's not spending to the cap. So I think they're going to be aggressive this summer. And they they have the options. They have the cap space. Let's see what happens. So I think it'll be an interesting summer. I don't know. Are we the Cubs of the NHL, the Blues fans? Are we Cubs fans of the NHL before they won the World Series a couple years ago? Wait till next year. There's always next year. I hope not, but I have more hope for next year. And I, you know, very beginning, if you go back to the podcast, very beginning of this season, back in October, I said I saw this as a stepping stone to next year. Get some guys some experience, and they did. Wasn't always the best experience, but, you know, take a guy like Vince Dunn. He was not on the radar at the beginning of the season, and now he's a legit NHL regular player, power play guy, top four guy. That was not the case in October. You know how much work Tage Thompson has. You know how much work Sammy Blais has. Some of these other young guys, Ivan Barbashev, I don't know, does Dmitry Yaskin still qualify as a young guy? Some of these guys that got exposure, and we see how much growth they need to have in their games, I think was important this year. And you basically got some cap space ready. You got rid of Stastny. Don't bring him back this summer. I'm just saying. And see what happens this summer. And this is a stepping stone. And the focus was not on this year. The focus was not on this year. The focus was not on this year. It's next year. It's the year after. It's the year after that. So let's see what happens. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as negative as I was a week ago when they lost by, you know, lost at Colorado and missed the playoffs by 1 point. It's going to be a long off season, and I hope it's busy, and I hope it's energizing, and I hope it's positive, and I hope that Blues fans everywhere, myself included, all the folks who contribute to Game Time, and all our friends on Twitter and Facebook and on the website, and that we see at games, who buy the paper, I hope we have a lot of hope for next year, and I hope we have a lot of excitement this off season. We deserve it. I think my tweet at the end of the season, I think it was maybe that last home game where they lost in the last 10 seconds. It wasn't the outcome they wanted, but it was the outcome that they deserved. And that, I think you can say that for the season. We wanted to make the playoffs. We wanted the Blues to make the playoffs. We wanted to go to playoff games. We wanted to go to multiple playoff games. We wanted to see success. We deserve it, supporting this franchise this long through this much up and down and up and down, and the ownership changes and the players who have come and gone and the players who have won Stanley Cups after leaving St. Louis. All the stuff that we have seen as Blues fans, we deserve good times. But man, this team this year did not play like they deserved to go to the playoffs. It's a matter of fact. They didn't earn it. They didn't earn it. They didn't earn it. So, hey, thank you for listening. Hopefully I've earned your time and attention this year. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. I don't know. Maybe I'll be back if they'll have me, if they want to do some off-season stuff, if they want to do something different. I'm cool, whatever. I roll with the punches. So I appreciate it. Jamie and Darren and Jim and everybody else associated with the podcast, Angela and Dennis and the guys over across the river. I appreciate everybody. So thanks for the time. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon. Let's go Blues. Back to you guys.
And that'll do it for this year's Blues NHL podcast.
Hang on, before we go, I want to thank Brian. Brian, our guy, our sound guy over here.
I thanked him, but you can.
I want to thank him.
I know, go ahead.
God damn it. He comes in here, and when I do special things, he hooks me up. So I want to thank Brian for everything he's done this year.
And guess what? I just sent Brian.
Oh, jeez. I don't even. A picture of your hair?
No, I found the video with you scoring a goal.
Wow.
So next year, we will be adding Jamie Rivers into the intro.
Hold on.
There's one.
Is,
did you just say the video, not a video?
No, he's
the video of you scoring a goal.
I couldn't find the one he sent me, and I found it.
I thought he meant you only scored one.
Scoring a goal?
How many goals you scoring?
I don't even know. Too many to remember.
Too many to remember. I know how many points he had in the alumni game at Busch Stadium against the Blackhawks.
Woo! On that note,
I know how many points he had against us.
All right, guys. Seven. For everyone, Blues NHL Podcast. Let's go, Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.